Everybody, I saw an interesting kasha that I never thought of and never saw, and I think that in the answer to the question, there's a very important and relevant answer. The Gemara B'Metzia Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis tells us the following: that the mon, the anan, and the be'er, as a merit, as really a schus and a reward, the way Avraham Avinu acted with the malachim, and I'll read it for you. Says the Gemara, for the reward of these three things, we rewarded three things. What are they? For the chem and the chalav that Avraham Avinu served the malachim, for that we got the mon. That he was attending to them. Right, he was attending to them. He was there. He was standing there. So the Amud stood with Kal Yisrael throughout the midbar. Because the mayim that Avraham Avinu gave the malachim, zochel be'er shel mayim. That's why the Jewish people were zochet to the bear of Mayim in the Midbar. Very nice Gemara. And the three actions that we focused on in when Avraham Avinu tended to the Malachim, ultimately his great-great-great-grandchildren were zochet to the Anan, the Be'er, and the Mon soon afterwards. But there's a problem. What's the problem? The Gemara in Tainus and Daftesim Aleph says that the Shloshim Mefarnasim, who are the Shloshim Mefarnasim? Let me just quote the Gemara from you. Gemara tells us, there are three pillars of sustenance that stood up for the Jews. Elohim, who are they? Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Three great gifts were given to them because of them. And what are they? The Be'er, the Anan, and the Mon. Right? The Be'er was because Miriam, the Anan was because Aaron, and the Mon was because Moshe. So the Maharsha seems to be asking, I don't understand, what was the reason for getting the mon, the anan, and the be'er? Was it from Avraham Avinu? Or was it from Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? Seems to be a very strong question. We see a similar question about the mitzvah of tzitzis. We learned recently in the parasha, right? That shame, of course, Vayikach, it says shame was the leader between him and Yefes to cover up Noach, and because that he was zochet the tzitzis. In last week's parasha, based on the fact that Avraham Avinu says, I'm not taking you to shulis, I'm not taking a strand, and a shulis from you, a melech stone. So there are zochet to two mitzvahs, tcheles, and ritzuah shel tefillin. Again, we see, what was the reason for the reward of tzitzis? Was the reward of tzitzis from shame, or was the reward of tzitzis from Avraham? That he didn't take a present from melech stone. So, very interesting question. So to understand, I think it's Marshall's question. Nosson Sizatzal quotes the question, and before he gets into developing an answer, he says the following thing. He says, we know the mission of us tells us that there were 10 tests for Avraham Avinu. Now the Pirkei de Rilazar says, and this, I have to admit, I never heard this before in my life. The Pirkei de Rilazar says the first test that Avraham Avinu endured is that when he was born, apparently the astrologers, the sorcerers told Nimrod that this, you don't want this guy around, and they put him in some sort of underground cave or something for how many years? I think it's 13 years, right? Kishinol Avraham Avinu, Bikshu Gedol Malchus Lahargo. They wanted to kill him. V'nechba mitachas ha'aretz Shlosh Tishrei Shana Shel Ra Lo Shemesh Lo Yireach. He was buried underground for 13 years. Okay, that was the first test, and the second test was he was put in jail, right, for 10 years. And then he was thrown in the Kitchen Eish. Okay, that was the first two Nisyonos, the test that Avraham Avinu endured according to the Pirkei de Rilazar. I never heard that he spent 13 years on the ground, first 13 years of his life. Apparently, the Pirkei de Rilazar says he came out, and he was talking Lashon HaKodesh, and he found all the idols to be disgusting. Fine. Those start, and then, of course, number three is Lech Lecha, etc., etc. The Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos says the first one of the tests is Lech Lecha. And then the famine, and then Sarah invades Paro, and the war with the kings, etc. So what is the difference between the 10 tests of the Pirkei de Rilazar and the 10 tests of the Rambam? Fascinating thing. The first two tests of the Pirkei de Rilazar are being hidden in a cave, or underground for 13 years, and being thrown into jail. There is no element of Ruchnias there. It wasn't like he said, hey, I believe in Hashem, and therefore they threw him in. It was just a physical challenge. A physical challenge, a physical difficulty that seemingly had nothing to do with the Ruchnias, just an overall physical challenge. In contrast, the first challenge of the Rambam was, Hashem says, listen, you need to have emunah, trust me, leave your homeland, and go to Eretz Canaan, which is a ruchnius-oriented test. So that's the difference. Pirkei Avos accounts a mere physical challenge as a nisayon, yet the Rambam and most others hold not like that. They hold a no. The real physical, the real nisayonos, the real tests are in the spiritual realm. So now we understand, perhaps, what's the difference between the two opinions of where this source came from. Avram Avinu, what he did was totally physical. Those meaning the schusin that led to the mon, the be'er, and the anan. Meaning, what did he do? He gave them butter and milk. It's physical. He attended to their needs. Physical. He served them water. Physical. Right. He said to Melech Sodom, I'm not taking any spoils. Totally physical. So according to that opinion, a physical feat, a physical accomplishment, a physical passing a physical test, gives you schar. And that was enough to get them the be'er, the anan, and the mon. However, the other opinion holds no, that the only time you get real schar is if you accomplish a spiritual test. When Hashem tells you go to Eretz Yisrael, that's emunah of Hashem. That's physical. And also Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, they were their schusim were not in the physical realm; they were more in the spiritual realm. Again, it's not really clear how that. I mean, okay, but I guess Aaron, he acted with Ovi Shalom, Rodev Shalom, he was Anan, he took care of people, so Anan takes care of people. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, led Klai Yisrael in a ruchnius fashion, so he was Ochet to the Mon, and Miriam as well, she had a ruchnius dikas chus. What we see from here is that there are different types of challenges. Some challenges are merely physical, and some challenges are ruchni. And Rosen Tzvi says that when a person is able to accomplish a ruchniistic challenge, when a person is really on a high level in ruchnius, so then he can do anything. There's no limit. Meaning, a physical challenge has a limit. Right? For example, Rav Avinu was told to be in jail for 13 years. Okay, he survived. Right? He said, I'm not taking any spoils. He survived. But a ruchniistic challenge, for example, he has to go ahead and he has to slaughter Yitzchak forever. That's something that spiritual challenge is not mukbal. There's no end of that challenge. It's eternal. Any ruchnistic challenge has with it a much more lengthy and intense repercussions. And the way he says it is as follows. Somebody who's holding a ruchnis, we know many gedolim, that they don't need anesthesia. For example, they wouldn't need anesthesia. There's stories about gedolim, they wouldn't need anesthesia during surgery. These types of things. Why? When it comes to ruchnius, there is no limit to how great a person can become when it comes to ruchnius. There's no limit. When it comes to physical, no, there's always a limit. Furthermore, I mean, he says it like this. He's speaking about his yeshiva. To see people that are impoverished and having challenges and so on and so forth, but yet, when it comes to learning, they're able to remove everything from their mind, be able to focus. That's totally ruchnius. When it comes to ruchnius, the sky is the limit. And that's why those challenges are even greater. Now, what's the problem with the challenge? Why did Hashem give Rav Avinu challenges? We know that challenges, of course, the motto is very clear, no pain, no gain. It's poshut. I always say over, it's like having the varsity basketball team play the second grade team. It's worthless, you don't get better, and you don't enjoy it when you get challenged. So, first of all, you deserve reward because you overcame a challenge, and you also become greater. And just as an aside, I'm looking around the guys chazaring the Gemara, and the intensity of what's going on in the chazara. I think you can see it bechush. You can see it right in front of your eyes. Right, the more you get into it, and the more you push, the more you try, the more you accomplish, and the much better you feel, and you feel like you're doing something great. And that's what ruchnius is. That's not a physical thing. It's a ruchniistic feeling. When you go ahead and you chazer and you feel like you understand the Gemara, you can't. It's indescribable. It's not like winning. It's not like winning a physical basketball game or something like that. It's totally different. Certain spiritual accomplishment. And in that vein, I think perhaps we can say like this: what's a physical challenge? Let's say getting up in the morning. A person can say, you know what, I can manage. You know, I'll do without the sleep. I'll just push myself. Okay, there's a certain that's certainly a challenge for many people. But you wake up, you push yourself, and you go, and you do it. But when you're sitting and learning, and you're like, you know what? I know what 80% I have it 80% clear. When you go ahead and you say, you know what, I'm going to learn it again. I'm going to spend another 20 minutes, and I'm going to learn to try to get 90% clear, 95% clear. That's a Ruch Nizdik challenge. And it's incomparable. You know what? Because if you just gave up an hour of sleep, or let's say you fasted, it's a physical challenge. Okay, that's it. You're done. You know, you didn't eat for a day. Beautiful, right? Or you held yourself back from making a bracha. But when you go through a Ruch Nizdik challenge, and the sky is the limit. And I think everybody can relate to that. When you go ahead and you sit there during the davening, and you actually try to focus and concentrate and understand the words you're saying, it feels different. It's a totally different feel. And the sky is the limit. I think that's what the Rambam, those who forced him to hold, that the 10 tests were only Ruch-oriented challenges, is because those are the challenges that a person can achieve the greatest heights. And it's so true. When you think about the challenges we go through in life, right, if a person, you're hungry, you want to go out, you'll manage, right? You'll manage. When a person says, you know what, I need to dive with more kavana. I need to learn better. I need to learn greater understanding. I need to learn more. It's a different type of challenge. And if a person realizes this throughout life, that what you're about to go through is a Ruch Nizdik challenge, and where that could lead you to, then I really believe the sky is the limit, both in how you'll feel, and both in at that moment when you overcome that challenge, and also over the time you'll see how you can become a changed person. That's number one. Number two, I just want to see how long I've gone for. Okay, not too long. One of my favorite mashalim that I came up with a number of years ago is to answer the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. I actually have to thank Rafi for reminding me about this word. He mentioned this to me in passing a few moments ago. Gemara in Shabbos tells us the famous idea. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Gudul Hachnasas Orchim Yikavalas Pnei Hashchina, Dechsiv Yomar Adoni. Actually, it's Adonai, it's referring to the Malachim. Im Namat Tzadikhin, Beinecha Ana Savor. Don't leave. I want to do Hachnasas Orchim. And basically, we say that Avraham Avinu was in the middle of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, hold on, let me take care of the Malachim. So anybody who has any thought says, come on, how could that be? It doesn't make any sense. Isn't our whole life is Shifti V'Yis Hashem Koy V'Chayai, to Dveikus B'Hashem, the whole idea is to hang around with Hashem, to cling to Hashem. How could it be that to go to greet what seem to be human beings and do HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could it be? How could it be that doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater than hanging out with the Shechina? B'makabal p'nei Shechina. It sounds to be totally counterintuitive. It doesn't sound right. So I think to answer the question, you have to answer the following mashal, right? Let's say you have a father. I hope this to be true. You have a father and he has a company. It's a very successful company. And he has a son. And he has two options of what he can do with the son. He can hire him as his assistant, have him hang around and be around all day, and help him out with his company. It'll be nice to be able to hang out with him. Or he could say to his son, listen, son, I'm going to give you the tools to go out and build your own company and start your own company. And Mir Hashem, you know, you'll be successful. And I'll guide you. When you have a question, you come to me and I'll guide you. But you'll have your own company. And you'll have your own success and your own accomplishments. So I think it's pretty poshut. I think that a father would rather get much more nachas from telling his son, go start your own company, and to see his son excel in similar ways that he himself grew and succeeded, even though it came at the expense of having him hanging around his office. Because what's the point of having somebody that you feel close to, that you want to grow, just have him hang around and sort of be dormant, right? If he would work for his father, the level of challenge and the need to grow as let's say in terms of business is much less. He's just there. But if he goes ahead and he sees his son get out on his own and go and accomplish his own life and make his own name for himself and have his own accomplishments, it's a much greater nachas. The same thing with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I'm creating you to grow and become the greatest people. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to emulate his ways. The pasuk tells us. The goal is to go in his ways. He doesn't want us just to hang around and just be close to him. Of course there's an inyan of dveikus, of course. But that's not the goal. The goal is to mirror his ways. And that's what we're trying to do in this world. We're trying to go in his ways. It's not enough to just have dveikus v'Hashem. It's even greater to go ahead and emulate and act and act in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, just to summarize the ideas, that we all go through challenges. And just understand something. The physical challenges are very important. but the spiritual challenges that are even more important have the potential to really spurn us to achieve great heights. And number two, the idea is we want to try to mirror the ways of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Rachum, he's Chanun, he takes care of people. We should also go ahead and be Zocha to follow in his ways and take care of people and be Malach Chesed, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Have a great Shabbos.